Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and tomorrow we're going to give you 2 hours of open forum. That's unusual for a Friday. 2 hours of open forum. Jimmy Akin will be here. Mark Brumley, president of Ignatius Press, one of the most important people in the world, will be here. And I don't want to undersell Mark Brumley. in part why we're bringing those 2 hours of open forum tomorrow is today we have the opportunity to spend 2 hours with Christopher Bloom, the academic dean of the Augustine Institute, one of those just precious – precious is a bad word probably – just really important Catholic institutions that are springing up about the country. I say springing up like it's somehow passively it happened. But you know why it's happening? It's because Catholics really want the fullness of the Catholic faith, and they're trying to figure out how can we share it in the modern world.
That's right.
So thanks for being with us, Dr. Bloom,
it's
again.
Great to be here, Cy.
We've been speaking about your brand new set of apologetics for high school seniors, Why I Believe, Answers to Life's Questions. You know what? Should we still continue to give the book away?
Or sure.
That's okay with you?
It is okay with
all right,
us.
I don't want to bankrupt the Augustine Institute.
Well, we may send you a bill.
we're not giving any books away then. we'll continue to give the book away to those who get through. And if you have questions left over from last hour about the book, those are welcome. But I do want to engage you a little bit because you are a Catholic educator and because this is what the Institute is so dedicated to is educating. I have said on the air, and I stand by it, but sometimes I regret it because I know it hurts some people who maybe their experience where they are is different. But we had a major bishop problem in the world, and we were kind of silent about it, and we've paid a tremendous price for that. Other bishops were silent about it. Priests were silent. It was a little bit of a conspiracy of silence. And sometimes that comes from you just don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. But we knew that. And I say, well, let's not make that mistake again. And I believe we have in many places throughout the country, throughout the world, an elementary school principal problem in Catholic schools. We have many elementary school principals who don't believe and hold what the Catholic Church believes and hold. And as the leaders of these educational communities, that means – whatever happens under them is going to be problematic. So I say all of that not to try to drag you into my controversial and frankly annoying to many people views, but to say what's supposed to be happening in these Catholic schools.
Right, yeah. You know, if we could put a little context around this, Cy, that might help.
Okay.
You know, I think our Catholic schools is probably well known to many. We're essentially run by religious orders. 75 years ago.
Right.
They're now mainly run by laymen and women.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been a big shift there. I think, again, another point of context that would be familiar to listeners to Catholic Answers Live is that we've been in a crisis of catechesis for the better part of that same period of time.
Okay.
75 years. You know?
Yeah.
So if it happens to be the case that here or there, there's an elementary school principal who doesn't seem to agree with the whole of the faith.
Yeah.
It's probably because he or she never really was taught the whole of the faith.
Ah, yeah.
Right?
Right.
So, you know, there's we really are facing a much broader crisis of faith and of catechesis than I think we really came to terms with, right? So people knew when John Paul II was Pope, right? And he brought out Catechesi Tridendi, and then he, of course, gave us the great gift of the Catechism itself. You know, everybody said, "Wow, there was a crisis in catechesis." Well, we've got it now. I don't think we really realized how broad and deep this crisis was, and how much tremendous labor it takes to actually hand on the faith successfully to an entire generation.
Mm-hmm.
It takes all we've got.
It takes all we've got, and I might push a little bit farther than you did on that elementary school principal that it because the problem is so broad. It's not just that they didn't get presented the fullness of the Catholic faith, but they got presented in many cases what Trent Horn might call a counterfeit Catholic faith.
Sure, sure. And then again, another aspect, a facet of this problem, Cy, is that you can have Catholic schools in certain parts of the country where the principals and the faculty are exquisitely orthodox and pious.
Yeah.
And the parents, by and large, aren't interested. They're not choosing Catholic schools for orthodoxy and piety.
Right.
And so then there's different kinds of conflicts.
888-318-7884 is our number. Dr. Christopher Bloom is our guest. And if you get through this hour, we're going to give you the two-volume set, Why Believe? Answers to Life's Questions. 888-318-7884. A lot of people, you can see every line full right now. I think we should empty some of those lines.
Excellent.
Ready to take some calls?
You bet.
All right. Let's go to Patricia right here in San Diego, watching on YouTube. Patricia, glad to have you here with us. Your question for Dr. Bloom.
Hi, Si. Hi, Christopher.
Hi, Patricia.
Hello.
Great show.
Oh, thank you.
I was wondering, would your books be appropriate for someone going into a community college?
Absolutely. Yes. They'd be right there. Mm-hmm.
You got somebody in mind?
And my nephew.
Okay. Well, you're getting a free set. So
yeah. Try it out.
And you had a follow-up, Patricia?
No.
Oh, okay.
I probably wouldn't.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I know you waited patiently for a long time, so I appreciate it, Patricia. But don't go anywhere because we want to send these books to you and bill it to Augustine Institute. You want to say?
Yes. Well, that's just a wonderful question here because it comes forth from this dilemma that we're all facing, right? That moment when a young person is ready for the first time to engage the questions of the faith. That moment might come at 15. That moment might come at 35.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And certainly this is not a universal text here. You know, a 35-year-old might pick it up and look at the pictures and say, well, the photographs are of people who are half my age. This must not be addressed to me.
Yeah.
But that's not the experience a 35-year-old will have of the words of the text itself. Right.
Right.
So reading through this, it will address any age, right on.
Well, lots of people are, and they often will say to us here at Catholic Answers with a kind of anxiety in their voice of, look, I'm 40 and I still never have gotten a complete formation in my faith.
Exactly.
What can you give me? What will help me?
You know?
And we have books for them, but I can imagine a person like that. This would be a wonderful thing to have in your
hands. I do think so.
Mm-hmm. Why Believe? Answers to Life's Questions. But it would also, I mean, the purpose of it, and a classroom full of high school seniors.
Yes.
Before they head out that door and start their work life or their next level of their school life, here's the Catholic faith.
That's right.
Ultimately, you got to decide, but here it is.
That's what we're trying to do.
Patricia, thanks very much for that call. Let's go to Tom in San Antonio, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Tom, you are on with Dr. Christopher Bloom. Your question, please.
Yes. Thank you, Si. Thank you, Christopher. I'm the father of a 15-year-old son who has a faith that is probably rival most adults I know.
Wonderful.
We went through a divorce when he was six together, and he is Catholic like I am. His mother is not. And I basically taught him by living my faith because I had to rely on it going through the divorce, which we went through together. Now, I mean, at the time, we drive down the road, I see an ambulance, I say a prayer for whoever they're going to help. Very next time, he did it, and he is still that way. So he's 15, he's a freshman in high school, and I'm worried about just, you know, I hear so many bad things about what happened when kids go to college. I just want to try and build his foundation as strong as I can, and hopefully it stays.
Is
your material something that would be of helpful to him?
It certainly would. I wouldn't rush him into it. It'll keep for a couple of years. It depends on what his interests are. If he's ready for it and enjoys it, let him move forward through it. You know, but as far as that broader, longer campaign from 15 to 18 of keeping the faith and then beyond, you know, I think, as I mentioned before, saints' lives. I think. Daily reading of the Gospels, 5 minutes a day of the Gospels, you know, over time that has a way of really changing hearts and minds, you know, so that's important. And of course, saying the rosary, getting to daily mass, these are the anchors, You know, but on the intellectual side, knowing the words of Jesus, they have such, you know, limitless intelligibility.
Tom, thank you very, very much for the call. Dr. Christopher Bloom is our guest this hour. We're talking about Catholic education. And our occasion for this conversation is the publication of Why Believe? Answers to Life's Questions from Augustine Institute. Right now, we've got a free ebook we'd like to give you from Catholic Answers. Mary, this is her month. May is Mary's month. Were you aware of that?
I've heard that before.
Okay, good. That's a Catholic test for you. Queen of Heaven, Ever Virgin, Full of Grace is the book. You just go to the shop.catholic.com page. That's our shop, shop.catholic.com. You click on the banner that says Queen of Heaven, and you're going to get yourself a free download of this ebook, Queen of Heaven, Ever Virgin, Full of Grace.
Hi, this is Bishop James Wall from the Diocese of Gallup, New Mexico. Keep it right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live is proudly supported by CatholicChemistry.com, a new dating site for Catholics who want to do dating right and believe relationships start with Catholic chemistry. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicChemistry.com for their generous support on the web at CatholicChemistry.com.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
And we need to pray for all our world leaders and all those who are in such danger. See, in a day and age where people are getting further away from God, you get further away from goodness. Only God is good. You remember what our Lord said one day? Why do you call me good? He said, only God is good. Only God.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Catholic education, very, very hot topic. Something we have, man, you were saying 75 years of we've had a catechesis problem of really not communicating the faith to people. Mm-hmm. But it just feels like we've been debating about Catholic education and what's it for so long, all of my life, certainly sure. All of my life. And I was one of those kids, you know, as a Navy brat, I was in a different Catholic school here or there. And in the 60s and 70s, it could be really different from one place to another, like
sure.
From very traditional to really wild and innovative. And, and it was a little bit bewildering as a child.
Sure.
So there's no wonder that people are confused. Well, what is the heart of it? This series from the Augustine Institute, a set of two books directed towards high school seniors, Why Believe? Answers to Life's Questions. Is available now, and we're giving a set to anybody who gets through and talks with Dr. Christopher Bloom this hour. Let's go to Chris in Dallas, Texas, listening on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. That's channel 130, EWTN. Chris, your question for Dr. Bloom.
Believe topic, and for years have sought to engage people that didn't believe, didn't want to believe. One of your first callers talked about some otherwise very smart young people who adopt atheism and they just kind of don't want to listen. Mm-hmm. And my question is, would you find it helpful to do this? Because I do. That is, when someone really doesn't want to listen, they're often anti-establishment and anti-church and they want alternative views of morality, more modern views. So I often take them through history where the church was the underdog. The church was the one getting beat up. The church was the one being abused and a lot of anti-Catholic history. And a lot of those people seem to open up a little bit more when they see the church not as the big authoritarian, perfect lecturer of good and bad, but rather someone who has endured a lot of hardship through history. And they seem to be a little bit more compassionate to open and listen up about why we should follow Catholic.
So it's kind of a strategic question about presenting the Catholic faith as the underdog of history.
Well, sure, yeah. But this also takes us right back to Jesus and the apostles and the Acts of the Apostles, St. Stephen and St. Paul and so on, right? I mean, when God becomes man and brings the fullness of truth into the world, what's he met with? He's met with derision, scorn, indifference, and then outright hostility. And nevertheless, that truth breaks through, right? He has the 12, he has the 72, then there's the broader crowds who ebb and flow in their numbers and so on. But he's able to be heard. And then after the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord and the sending of the Holy Spirit, these witnesses are emboldened to lay down their lives and their reputations for what they have seen and what they know to be true by faith. So that's certainly in between the covers of Why Believe, right? We are not addressing the whole scope of church history here. We have examples of holy people from the 20th century, but if we're looking carefully at anything, it's at that initial response to Jesus as truth that we find from the apostles, and that's still bedrock for us today.
It doesn't change. No, mm-hmm. Like that the classic question that we all, the Jesus question that's often repeated: who do you say that I am? Everybody's got to answer it. You got to, yeah. Right? And it's
and pay the cost of answering it.
Mm-hmm. Chris, thank you very, very much for that suggestion and for that idea on presenting the faith. It is true. The Catholic Church is often presented as like the grumpy old man of the,
sure.
of the world.
Right. Oh, yeah.
But what can we do? I mean, if it's not that, it's going to be something else. People who want to dismiss the church are going to find a way to create an image of her that's mean.
Right. Or increasingly irrelevant, right? No, we'd rather have Barabbas.
Yeah, so he's much more relevant.
Yes.
He's much more with the times. Mm-hmm. Tony in Dayton, Ohio, you're up next. Tony's listening on Channel 130 EWTN on Sirius Satellite Radio as well. Tony, your question for Dr. Bloom.
Hello. So I currently go to a Catholic school.
Okay.
And it's a high school. And I can definitely tell what you mean by that 75-year gap of catechesis. But a big part of that, the way that we can bridge that gap is through good faith examples like priests and nuns and brothers and sisters and all that used to be at Catholic schools but now aren't. So my Catholic school currently does not have a priest, and I just started trying to get a priest to be a good example, as I've found like with vocations, having a priest at a Catholic high school infinitely increases vocations. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering what your advice was in my efforts to get a priest at my high school.
Mm. Wow, what a great effort. That's a wonderful inspiration that you've received. You know, something to bear in mind is how busy priests can be marrying and burying and baptizing, right? So it could be, depending on where you are and exactly what's around you, that some of the priests are already working flat out. They may be working 80 hours a week, and they may find spending a significant amount of time at the high school a bridge too far. Nevertheless, there's probably some space there, right? So, you know, I think you would just want to work respectfully with teachers who are close to you, or perhaps the principal if you happen to have a good relationship with him or her. Then, you know, plant that seed and see what can be possible. That's a tough hill to climb. Of course, there are dioceses that have lots of priests, and that priests are in the schools, and that's the way it ought to be. But
right,
that can be hard.
Tough one, Tony. But God bless you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. God bless you in your efforts. That's what I mean about like you feel the Holy Spirit moving.
Absolutely.
I do. Here and there, it's just spontaneously these wonderful things happen. And the power of the Holy Spirit's behind a lot of it. Chris in Michigan, listening on 990 AM Ave Maria Radio. Ave Maria Radio, that's where Al Cresta is. You know Al Cresta?
I've had the pleasure of speaking with him.
He is the he's the apex. He's what we're all trying to be.
Yeah, you have it.
In Catholic media. Mm-hmm. Chris, your question for – excuse me. Yeah, Chris, your question for Chris.
Yes, hello. I'm a father of a 28-year-old who's still seeking.
Mm-hmm.
We put him through Catholic high school, Catholic grade school. And I think after he finished a course in high school on comparative religions, he kind of came to the conclusion, I'm thinking, that, you know, Catholic religion isn't any better than any other religion, because that seems to be his belief now. So I was wondering if this book set might be helpful to him, because we still talk about, he's still open to talking to me about spiritual matters, and I'm always nudging him. I'm not, you know, hitting him over the head with the catechism or anything, but I'm always good. Nudging him toward the faith. Mm-hmm. I'm praying every day to St. Monica, St. Augustine, for him, to bring him back into the sacramental life of the church. But I'm just wondering if this book set might be helpful to him.
I think it might. I'd like to think so. You know, Sai and I were laughing about the friendly tug of war between myself and Chris Check about whether this is a book of apologetics or pre-apologetics. And this is, you know, an argument among really nerdy people. you know, there's a way in which it is a kind of pre-apologetics in this sense, right? That we're trying to show what it, over the course of these 30 chapters, what it's like to look out at the world through Catholic eyes. And I think for your son and for other people who are that way, they may not have ever approached the Catholic faith that way. The Catholic faith may have always seemed like a bunch of disconnected matters. This on Sunday, this particular doctrine, this miracle or relic or saint or something like this, you know. And what we're trying to do is to anchor the truths of the faith and the goodness of the faith and the goodness of the sacramental life. We're trying to anchor that in our one human nature that we all share, in our common experience of having to choose our path in life and choose to become good and choose to be happy. And I think the experience of someone like your son might be to say, wow, I never approached the Catholic faith this way. So it could be new. Okay, Chris? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much. Man, the thing about... This is a tough time to parent, man. This is a tough time to parent.
It's missionary work. It is.
I really appreciate you saying that it's missionary work, because I had not thought of it in those terms, but that's exactly what it is. You're a missionary to a person who is their formation is outside of the Christian world now. I mean,
much of it.
We have time. Let's go to Kristen in Houston, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Kristen, thanks for calling. Your question for Dr. Christopher Bloom.
Hi. I'm a high school teacher at a public high school in Houston, and I specifically teach science. But there's a Catholic parish right by the school and right by my house. And I occasionally hear the students like, oh, my parents are Catholic, but I don't really believe it anymore. Like, we were talking about this XYZ in the youth group, and I, like, they were kind of dancing around explaining, like, especially homosexual marriage and gay relationships. They were like, I don't really agree with it. And I was wondering, given my position as a teacher in a public school that teaches science, how can I possibly approach the subject to my students in a way that's appropriate both for my position and as a good Catholic?
Wow. Okay. Well, that's a $64,000 question there.
Right.
Okay. However one were to attempt to answer a question like this, one would only be doing you and your students and these Catholic kids a disservice if the answer were to take the form of a course of action that would result in your getting fired. Okay, so that's not the goal here, and it shouldn't be the goal. We are really sailing against pretty stiff headwinds on this one, right? There's a litmus test out there in our culture on acceptance of sexual acts that are against nature, and those who speak against them not only are ostracized, but even those who are silent in the face of claims about the goodness of these lifestyles can be ostracized, right? So you need to exercise prudence here, because you as a teacher, any of us as Catholics, in terms of our witness, we're here for the long game, right? We recognize that God is patient with us. The world keeps spinning. The sun keeps rising on the good and on the ill. And we are not going to lose faith as we wait upon providence to clear away the vapors that are clouding these issues here, right? So we have to be very patient. I think as a public school teacher, there's probably very little you can say directly about this issue and not lose your job. I think what you can do is to manifest in various ways your love for the Catholic faith in various low-key ways, and that's a great witness already.
You know what? If you'll hang on, there's a couple other things we might resources we might point you to. What a great question! But just if you can, Kristen, and I can come back to you when we come back on the other side. We're talking with Christopher Bloom, academic dean of the Augustine Institute, and we're talking about Why Believe: Answers to Life's Questions.
We're here for you. Give us a call today on Catholic Answers Live.
In his new audio presentation, The Very First Fathers, apologist Jimmy Akin takes you on a tour of the earliest Christian writings outside the New Testament. From the most famous figures and most notable works to those lesser known but no less important, this pivotal time in the development of the early church is revealed in fascinating detail. Jimmy shows how, even in the first century after the resurrection, it was necessary to defend and explain truths that are still under attack today, such as the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist and the perpetual virginity of Mary. The Very First Fathers is a compelling look at the dawn of the Christian age and edifying listening for anyone who wants to understand and defend the full truth of Catholicism. Order your copy of The Very First Fathers today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Hello, this is Bishop Jeffrey Monfort, Bishop of the Diocese of Steubenville. Make sure you keep it on Catholic Answers Live. God bless you.
Love and beauty. As a little girl, Dawn Eden Goldstein knew that she wanted those things, that in them somehow she would find God. Over the years as a rock journalist, she moved among some of popular music's best-known artists, straining to capture that transcendent love and beauty in every note and lyric. In Sunday Will Never Be the Same, Dawn recounts her spiritual journey in beautifully wrought detail, mixing powerful accounts of trauma, healing, and epiphany with funny anecdotes from inside the music scene. It is the rare conversion story that delights as it inspires, amuses as it edifies, and ultimately lays before the reader a live testimony to the transforming grace of Christ. Order your copy of Sunday Will Never Be the Same by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and we were talking with Kristen, a little bit of science teacher. I wanted to just get a couple clarifications from you. You said make sure first of all, it's not going to do anybody any good if she gets fired.
Exactly.
That's a really good point. I mean, there's a practical point here. What good does that do?
Right.
But maybe share her Catholic faith in mild ways, maybe by wearing a crucifix.
Could be that. Could be mentioning that it's Easter or that it's Christmas. You know, not preaching directly, but just sharing what's meaningful to her herself.
Right. And if she's a science teacher and is wearing a cross or a crucifix, for example, that is a little bit of a dissonance that the student needs, actually. It's good for the student to
see
that.
Right. That's right.
I was going to suggest, Kristen, that you also go to Stacey Trisankos' website. Stacey Trisankos wrote the book Particles of Faith. She's a scientist herself and teaches science in a Catholic setting, not in a public school setting. But I just thought you might like to be associated with her. You can send her an email, be in touch with her. She's a great teacher and may provide more resources with you. There's an organization being formed, and I believe it's Dr. Barr, a physicist, Stephen Barr.
Mm-hmm. Delaware.
You know him. And it's a Society of Catholic Scientists, I think is what it's called. But it's in that neighborhood. And that's another one that might be a resource to people. I'm very impressed with Stephen Barr and his work and his writing on science. So Kristen, I think we've lost you, but if you're listening, you can make those contacts. I certainly would reach out to Dr. Stacey Trisankos.
Dr. Christopher Bloom is our guest. We're talking about Catholic education this hour, and if you have any question at all about Catholic education, you'd be welcome to call. But the particular occasion of our conversation is the publishing of Why Believe? Answers to Life's Question from the Augustine Press, where Dr. Bloom is the academic dean and a professor. If you have questions in that regard, you're welcome to call as well, 888-318-7884. And we do want to give a set of these two books to anybody who gets through on the line today. Let's go to Sean in Atlanta, Georgia, listening on The Quest, Catholic Radio for Atlanta. Sean, your question for Dr. Bloom.
Yeah, I want to know, is there any initiative to standardize confirmation classes? I just taught the class this past year. And the topics were great, you know, books on the Bible, the sacraments, the saints. But as soon as I asked them a question on defending the faith, the hot topics like abortion or homosexuality, yeah, the first thing they said, yeah, abortion's wrong. But when I mentioned homosexuality, oh, that's cool. You know, you can do what you want. It's their business. They can't defend it. And I'm afraid as soon as they get to college, they're going to just fold in to the crowd.
Sean, thank you for that, Dr. Bloom.
Well, Cy, as we were saying at the break here to one another, the Courage Apostolate website is a wonderful resource.
Oh, thank you, yeah, for mentioning that.
On the topic of same-sex attraction, and so that's couragerc.org, if I'm not mistaken.
I'll look it up.
And especially the video presentation, The Desire of the Everlasting Hills, which is a one-hour documentary featuring three people who are giving testimony about their lives and how living chaste lives has meant such a great difference to them in terms of their happiness and wholeness and their love of God.
You were right. CourageRC.org is the address, Sean. Thank you. It does strike me, and both Kristen from before and Sean now, among young people, I did not see it coming that the gay marriage thing was going to fix in the mind of young people the way that it has. That
sure.
It's not like, oh, that's a side issue to my faith and everything. They are using your stance, you, Dr. Bloom, or me, or whoever, your stance on gay marriage to as a barometer of your authenticity and reliability.
Right.
If you don't say, yo, yeah, sure, then you are an inauthentic and unreliable.
Or a bigot,
yeah,
right. This is what is said.
Mm-hmm. So this makes it very difficult on Catholic schools, Catholic school teachers, because the standard has now been set, and frankly, I can't ever meet the standard. So, I'm locked out.
And so we had to confront this in putting together Volume 2 of Why Believe, because as I was saying, we're trying to present what the world looks like from Catholic eyes, and so Chapter 5. Is on sexuality, and Chapter 6 is on the family. It's just in Volume 2, and the approach that we took is to anchor sexuality in procreation, which is really the only way of understanding why we have these parts and what they're for, and then anchoring procreation within the context of raising children, because of course at one day old and you know, with the belly button still red, they're not ready to live on their own yet, right?
So I tried. But they stuck around.
They do.
And I said, get an apartment. I got nothing out of them.
And the bills come in.
Yeah.
So parenting and the wonderful adventure of multi-generational living, which is what family is supposed to be. So I think if we look at human life in the proper context of why we have these parts and what these parts do when they're functioning in a healthy way, then from that perspective, we're able to see why homosexual acts are not going to make us happy, and why the homosexual marriages with children in that context aren't what children deserve.
Sean, is all that have helped you?
It is. And I do have the DVD set. It's called Invited to Courageous Love.
Good.
From Courage.
Wonderful.
But I just wish I could have some influence on changing or adding. So I just do things as side.
We lost you for a quick second here, Sean. But we all wish we could have that influence. We're just marginalized at the moment.
Well, that's
a
right.
bit in the minds of young people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the Lord is patient and the Lord is good and he has a plan.
Sean, thank you for that very encouraging call. It's wonderful to talk with you. And as you know, The Quest is one of my favorite Catholic radio stations. 888-318-7884 is our number here. Dr. Christopher Bloom is our guest. The new book series for high school seniors, Why Believe? Answers to Life's Questions. You can get it. You can get it just by going to the Augustine Institute Press, right? Directly?
Market.formed.org.
Market.formed.org.
Yes.
Okay, great. We got time for Bob. Let's go to Bob in Fulton, Missouri, listening on 103.3 FM, the Covenant Radio Network. Bob, your question for Dr. Christopher Bloom. Hi, Bob. The phone.
Are you looking for Jeff?
No, you know what? I'll take Jeff. All right. I'll take – I was looking for Bob. I don't mean to hurt you, Jeff. But
I'm all right. I'm very tough.
Are you in Columbus, Ohio, one of my top 10 Ohio cities?
I am in Columbus, Ohio.
Listening on St. Gabriel Radio. All right, Jeff, your question. Sorry, Bob, but we're going with Jeff now. Jeff, your question for Chris Bloom.
Hi. Well, I'm a volunteer leader of RCIA in my parish, and I do it just because I love it. But I'm trying to look at how can I broaden what I'm trying to help these people learn about our faith, and I'm looking for ideas that might help in terms of activities outside of a classroom, be they service or experiential or retreat. I thought about trying to have them maybe interact with kids, but then I have to have all the background checks and everything like that, and I don't have that for all the participants. So I'm kind of looking for ideas to how to broaden and give more of an experience of our faith beyond just what we talk about in the classroom setting.
Well, that's a great question. You know, right now, it seems to me that for the typical person, an adult, you know, let's say young adult years coming into the faith. You know, RCIA, there's the occasional convert who's 45 and older, but typically RCIA is a younger set and is often associated with a marriage, right? So, these are people who've been fully habituated to smartphones and to a digital media environment. And, it's kind of an all-encompassing sensory and mental phenomenon for them. And so what you might think about doing is to bringing them into some of the sensory and cognitive gifts that our Catholic faith offers to the world that you can't get on a smartphone, right? So finding a monastery somewhere within a small drive, going there for half a day, hearing sung Vespers, spending some time in silence, appreciating what the monks or the nuns do. You know, this could be a life-changing experience. We've got just outside of Denver, St. Walburga's Abbey, where they raise holy cows. It's a very beautiful monastery. And just to hear them sing.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah.
This just opens doors.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. We've got that up the street from us here at St. Michael's Abbey.
Yes.
Well, I go to Mass sometimes with the Benedictines up at Prince of Peace Abbey as well. But the Norbertines are singers.
Yes.
So, and it's beautiful. But you're right. The opening of the senses to the faith is really important at a certain age.
At any age,
I guess,
right?
So, yeah.
I mean, and I think the main point here is that it's a full body and soul experience here, right? And that's what our Catholic faith offers us through the sacraments, not just something that we're downloading, but something that we enter into that is a whole new reality for us. So tastes of that.
Does that help you, Jeff?
Yeah, there's some great ideas there for work with. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. After the break, we're going to go to Bob, and I'm going to see which one of you is a better caller. since we had to make Bob wait, we'll see. I'll be judging. I'll be sitting in judgment. 888-318-7884, the number. Hey, if you live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and you have not heard about the Fullness of Truth Conference coming to Colleyville. How do I say it, Nick? Colleyville. He was trying to give me a Texas – he's a Texan.
Oh,
he was trying to give
okay.
me a Texas pronunciation, but I am not good at it. I can't – I have – no. So – but if you –
look, what's the dates? May 10th and 11th. You'll still be home for Mother's Day. Get over to Colleyville, Texas. If you want to know about it, go to fullnessoftruth.org. What would you do for a day with Tim Staples? That's pretty good, right? A day with Tim Staples. That's pretty good. That's not all. Chris Check is going to be there.
Oh.
And that's not all. This is like the Ginzu cutting knives. Carlo Broussard will be there as well.
Getting better all the time.
Yep. You want more?
Sure.
That is also not all. Trent Horn will be there.
My goodness.
One day with all those Catholic Answers figures at the Fullness of Truth Conference in Colleyville, Texas. Just go to fullnessoftruth.org. It's a week from now. You're going to want to be there. Fullnessoftruth.org.
There's only one. Catholic Answers Live.
We need Catholic radio because we need the voice of the church in the public forum. We live in a time that the secular voice dominates so thoroughly that we need to get that Catholic perspective out. Just as Fulton Sheen used radio and TV in the last century, we need to continue to use. This means to announce the Catholic faith in the public forum.
Bishop Robert Barron thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The most common thing we hear from Catholic parents here at Catholic Answers, I may imagine it might be true for you all over at the Augustine Institute as well, is how do I keep them safe in the faith, or how do I help them return to the faith? I didn't know that they were even leaving and they're gone from the faith. Helping us to answer that important question in a practical way, giving us practical tools and helps in that direction is the Augustine Institute with their brand new books for high school seniors. Or for those older than high school seniors as well. For some, if they're well prepared, younger than high school seniors, Why Believe? Answers to Life's Questions. Christopher Bloom, who put that series together as the academic dean of Augustine Institute, is here with us this hour. And we've got lots and lots of calls for you.
So, great.
And I've kind of built up Bob in Fulton, Missouri, listening on 103.3 Covenant Network by making him wait. So,
we'll see.
Bob, is this going to be a good call?
I sure hope so.
Okay. All right, Bob. We're counting on you. Yeah, your question Your question for Dr. Okay. Bloom.
Okay. Well, I also help teach confirmation.
God bless you.
In my parish.
Thank you.
And over the next 3 years, our bishop is going to transition the age of the confirmation candidates from high school level to middle school level, from junior year to seventh grade. And it sounds like these books would be great supplements for the high school level teaching. I've heard arguments on both sides, you know, which is would be more appropriate. But I was just curious on your opinion as far as confirmation age. I feel the high school kids, you can kind of challenge them more and take them to a deeper level. And I also kind of feel like, you know, maybe it could give the appearance of we're kind of taking a backseat to the kids' sports schedules and extracurricular activities. I was just wondering, curious on your opinion.
Some help there.
Of confirmation.
No, this is, this great sort of practical conundrum here, right? On the one hand, we want to start our reflection on this topic by recognizing that the sacrament of confirmation is a tremendous gift to us from God, right? This is a moment in which there's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the soul, and we're strengthened in faith, hope, and charity, and receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So the perspective of many today in the church, and it sounds like your bishop is among those, is this can't happen too soon, right? This needs to happen younger in life because we need those sacramental graces. And then I think also another part of that, the perspective that would lead for confirmation to be moved to a younger grade would be to say, when we do confirmation when they're 15 or something like this, this is precisely when they feel it as an extra burden, and instead of being able to receive it as a gift, their very age kind of militates against that, right? Now, the flip side of it is, as you suggest, Bob, is that, you know, when they're 7 years old or 12 years old or something, they're just not ready for the real serious catechesis that we'd like to give them. Well, that's on us, right? We now need, as we move the sacrament of confirmation back to a younger age, we need to now come up with better ways of engaging our teens, you know, small group discipleship or whatever it might be.
Bob, that was a good call, as a matter of fact. I feel like we owe such a great debt of gratitude to anybody who's working in catechetics right now. And God bless you in your work. Bob, did that help you?
Thank you. Yes, it did.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Saving souls in Missouri. It makes an eternal difference there, Bob. Let's go to Allison in Yucca Valley, California, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Allison, thanks for downloading the app onto your phone. Your question for Dr. Christopher Bloom.
Howdy, how are y'all?
Very well, Allison.
Thanks, well.
Awesome. I'm calling. I'm a fairly new convert, and I have a friend who, she was baptized as a Catholic and was introduced a little bit to the faith, and like her mom celebrates Marian solemnities. But other than that, she was given really no catechesis. And so how do I approach without like fire hosing her with like information so that I can maybe help be a tool to her evangelization?
This is great. You know, I'm reminded of a crucial moment in Edith Stein's conversion. She became Sister Teresa Benedicta of the Cross and was martyred by the Nazis in World War II. But first she had been a Jewish philosopher, and as a young woman was a teacher. And what made one of the steps in her conversion was that she was at a friend's house, and the house guest out of town kind of thing, and her friends hosting her had to go out to a dinner party. So she was left at home in the library and picked off the shelf the autobiography of Teresa of Avila, and she couldn't put it down. It just spoke to her. And by the time, you know, 3 hours went by, she said, this woman's life is the life I need to lead. You know, this woman's faith needs to be my faith. And I think that, you know, not that Teresa of Avila is the answer for everybody, but I think that there are books like that out there, whether it's Story of a Soul by Thérèse of Lisieux, or one, depending on, you know, in this case, you're talking about a relatively young woman, it sounds like. So either one of those might be appropriate. If it's a young man, it might be Augustine's Confessions, although women, of course, profit from that too. So, but I think also, too, of John Paul II's memoirs. So when we have these precious documents of the saints speaking in their own voice to us, that can sort of get under the skin, as it were, because what one is encountering there is the human being, male or female, responding to the love of God in Christ Jesus without bringing in all the doctrine or anything like this, right? But just responding to the love of the Lord. And that's where it starts, right? The doctrine, it helps us to live out our love of Christ, right? If you love me, keep my commandments. Okay, so we want to do that. So tell us the commandments. How do we live them? And so on and so forth. But it starts with our response in faith, hope, and love.
Are there any good biographies that you're aware of Edith Stein herself? Is there anything out there that...
Yeah, the Waltraud Herbstritt is... that's an unpronounceable German name, but that's a good biography. Yeah, Ignatius Press has
it. I didn't even know that was a name.
Yeah,
that's like the one.
Ignatius Press has one.
Oh, yeah. Ignatius Press has a good one. Yeah. Oh, yeah, maybe just peruse the website of Ignatius Press. Now, what do you think about that, Allison, sharing the lives of the saints in one way or another?
I think that's really great. I've introduced her to the idea of the saints and like why we pray to saints. So I think that would be a really great idea.
Well, we're also going to send you your own copy of the 2-volume set, Why Believe, Answers to Life's Questions. Maybe leave it on the coffee table. I never know. Somebody might pick it up.
You never know. And we profile some really wonderful saints in the back end of Volume 2, Walter Cisek, Cardinal Fantoin, and some other contemporaries. And again, their journey can speak so eloquently.
Allison, God bless you sharing the good news. I hope that you will find just the right book to put in your friend's hands. But she's got a good friend. That's a good start. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, you're all about friendship, aren't you?
Yes.
Christopher Bloom. You wrote the book on friendship.
Did I?
Yeah.
No, that's John Cutterback who wrote the book on friendship. No,
didn't you write one on friendship too?
A Mind at Peace. That was the book on restraint with respect to media devices.
I would not confuse you with John Cutterback.
No, but he's more eloquent than I am.
He's got a great little podcast that comes out once a week.
Yeah.
I get that. Do you get that?
Bacon from Acorns.
Bacon from Acorns. Yeah. I swear that you had one on friendship. I wasn't actually confusing with you with John Cutterback, but you didn't write something on friendship. No?
Not that I recall.
All right. You know what? I think I see it in your future. This could be a prophecy. I hate that when I mess up like that. Nancy, also in Missouri. All right. We're having a good day in Missouri. Nancy, your question for Dr. Christopher Bloom, who did not write any of John Cutterback's books.
Thank you. I am a fallen away Catholic for about 20 years when I was married and we were raising our child. And then have since come back to the church. Okay. And I look at it differently today than I did, needs to say, when I was in high school and college. My question is, other than the Baltimore Catechism, that's for elementary school. I'm looking for something that is more for adults, not only for myself, but also for nieces and nephews who grew up in the church, parochial schools, out of college, and they don't believe, they don't practice, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So that's my first question. My second question is, when I was a practicing Protestant, very good at it, I got a Bible, Life Application Bible, and the New International Version. I need something like this in the Catholic version per my older brother. So
I got
two questions there.
There you go.
You got this one?
No. I just have two suggestions for the Bible thing, but the same ones that you
would. No, hit the Bible. Yeah.
The Ignatius Study Bible.
Yes.
And then what's the one Jeff Cavins did for?
Great Adventure.
The Great Dang, just give me a second. It was going to come to me. That was like showing off. The Great Adventure Bible. Either one of those, you can't go wrong with
that.
That's
right.
The Ignatius Study Bible or the Great Adventure Study Bible. You're going to be happy with those. But the first question was
The first question is I do think Why Believe is a wonderful resource there. Again, you know, there's a certain person older than 30 who might think that all the photographs of young people make the book not for them. But that's, you know, we had to choose an audience and stick with it. And so we chose 18, and that's our job. But I assure you the text can speak to a broader range of ages there. And the Baltimore Catechism is, in fact, the reverse of Why Believe. Because our task here in Why Believe is to make the reader, to invite the reader to take the question seriously. That's where it has to start. It has to start with our taking the question seriously, and then the answers find their way in to the heart.
Nancy, I'm going to leave it there. I hope that was helpful to you. I think we can get to Lee in Portland, Oregon, if we go real quick. It's going to have to be super quick, Lee, your question for Dr. Christopher Bloom. Lee?
Traders of Catholic schools are not formed correctly, but the Catholic school itself is out of reach for most Catholics, especially for those who are practicing the faith and not contracepting.
Got it. Okay. Catholic school is expensive. What's the answer there?
He's
right.
Yeah, he's absolutely right. Yeah, we're going to have to just approach this very creatively.
Right? How about a revival of the religious life?
That would
we
be
need
fine.
More women religious and men religious and priests. And
That would
because that's what made it affordable before.
That is what
was
made
that
it
people
affordable.
Dedicated their lives to doing this. Mm-hmm. And most of those women are now in heaven.
Amen.
And they can pray for us. Lee, thanks for ending on that, because we do need less expensive Catholic schools. It's a matter of basic justice in helping parents out in that way. Hey, we've been talking about Why Believe, Answers to Life's Questions. It's two books. It's got a teacher's guide, and it's got all kinds of videos in support of it at formed.org. Christopher Bloom has been our guest. Thank you very much, Dr. Bloom.
Thank you, Si.
It's always a great pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
Even though you're not John Cutterback.
No, I'm not.
Tomorrow,
2 hours of open forum. If you got a question about the Catholic faith, Mark Brumley, Jimmy Akin, they'll both be here to answer those questions. We'll see you then, God willing, on Catholic Answers Live.